Welcome to the Cultivation Co-op from the Baptist Convention of Iowa. My name is Ben Bradley, BCI Communications Director. The Cultivation Co-op exists to present the best tools and resources to help BCI pastors and church leaders like you make disciples and develop leadership. The five stages of discipleship, a spiritual formation grid, is a discipleship tool developed by Tim Trudeau, lead pastor of Grace Community Church in Boone. In this interview, Pastor Tim shares with BCI Discipleship Leadership Coach Chris Mavity and I how he uses this comprehensive discipleship tool in his church and provides advice about how you can adapt and implement the five stages of discipleship in your church. Download the five stages tool from the webpage to follow along as you listen to the interview.
Well, Tim, thank you so very much for sitting down with Ben and me to just talk discipleship for a moment or two. But before we do that, even though you're popular here in the Baptist Convention of Iowa, I know that there's people that might not know you. So will you give us just a little bit of background?
Sure. Yeah, I'm pastor here at Grace Community Church in Boone. I've been here at the church 21 years. We were non-denominational for several years and came into the BCI, I think about 8 years ago, and very happy to be in the BCI. Wow, the church has benefited, but I think I've benefited more than anybody, the fellowship, my peer group, getting to know Tim and other pastors and all the BCI provides. It's been great. So I've been a pastor, 39 years.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Married the same number of years, so it's easy to keep track of in that sense. Three girls and one grandchild, 15 months, which I just spent a week with, so that was delightful.
No wonder you have such a big smile on your face. That is really good. Very good. So can you tell us just from your pastoral experience how you got started? And now, of course, senior pastor. Have you always been a senior pastor or?
Just the first year, I was a one-year intern. I went to Trinity Seminary in Deerfield, Illinois. And then between my second and third year, I had a full year internship in my home church. And I was mostly a youth pastor, did a number of things during that year. And then I went back to seminary for my final year. And I'd been helping out at a church in the Chicago area. And during my last year, their pastor resigned, and they asked if I'd be the pastor. So I jumped right into the
You skated right
ministry.
In
yeah,
there.
I did,
Isn't
yeah.
I didn't know that about you. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. Well, we're here to talk kind of just discipleship. And I know that that word can mean a lot of different things to different people that will hear this broadcast, depend upon their background and upbringing and all that. When you use the word discipleship, will you just tell us what it means to you?
Sure. For me, it's helpful just to distinguish between a disciple and a discipler.
Oh, okay. All right.
So a disciple is a person who follows Christ and has placed their faith in Christ, crowned him as Lord of their life, and they're walking in faith and obedience to Christ. A discipler is somebody who's helping somebody else do that.
Ah, okay. Good distinction. Thank you. That's helpful for me. And I want to give just a little bit of context to our listeners. Several months ago, I got a forwarded email. You sent an email, I think, to Tim, and then Tim passed it on to me, and it had some discipleship content. I'll leave it at that. You can describe it here in a minute. And I kind of perused it, and I was like, oh, man, I'm really interested in this. And came up, visited the church up here, really enjoyed my time here at your church. It was uplifting, I would say even a little bit more inspirational than what I was thinking about, you know. So I was so happy to have been able to join you guys in worship. And so you have a couple, well, at least one great staff member. I don't know. I know Ben.
Yeah.
And tell us a little bit more about the makeup of who's here, at least help and serve people at your church.
Yeah. Ben is full-time associate pastor. His roles mainly have to do with youth and worship. And then we have a half-time office manager. She pretty well runs the place and does a great job of it, Heather.
Okay.
And then a part-time custodian. That's the paid staff.
Okay.
We also have had interns. And in fact, we just decided yesterday to bring another part-time intern on for June to December, basically. So we'd like to get into that, where maybe that's an ongoing opportunity for people coming up through our church, or if there isn't anyone, maybe, you know, someone who is looking for kind of a gap year to get some experience or that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, I want to just make a note to BCI pastors and church leaders. If you get into the Boone area, man, swing on by. It's a great place here, full of vitality and energy, and we attribute that to not only the Holy Spirit's work, but Tim, God's using you in great ways here. So thank you for your service to your church and to others here in the BCI. So getting back to this whole discipleship thing, let's take a couple of minutes, and instead of me trying to describe what I read, would you just describe what it is you put together and why you ended up doing it? This is a fascinating story to me.
Sure. I've been, discipleship has been on my radar since I was a very young Christian. I went off to college, and I, like my third Sunday in the church had just hired a pastor of discipleship. He was a fairly young Christian. He didn't know what he was doing. He didn't even know what that meant, but he knew he was supposed to do something. So he got up on a Sunday evening and he said, "Well, I'm the new pastor of discipleship. Anybody who wants to be a disciple, come and talk to me after the service." Well, I was the only guy who went forward. And so we learned it together. We read all the early Navigators books, mm-hmm. you know, Walt Hendrickson and Leroy Imes and those kinds of things. And we learned what it was and started doing it together. And I was discipling guys then in the dorms. And it was part of my life from those early days. And so it's always been on my radar. But lately, I kind of asked myself, are we really making disciples here? Who make disciples? That was a hard question, because the answer was not so much.
Wow. And how did that question come into your mind, first of all? I think it's a pivotal question, by the way. And then your response to it.
Well, I read something by Will Mancini, and he talked about how when programs make disciples, they don't make disciples. When people make disciples, those people then make disciples. And just having, I mean, read that paragraph, and I thought, uh-oh, we've got programs that are making disciples, and lots of good things, many people who've grown in their faith in many ways, much to celebrate, but they aren't turning around and making disciples, because our programs are helping people grow in the faith, but we don't have people helping people follow Christ in a way that's transferable then from the way they did it, so that they can take that and do it with somebody else.
Wow, Tim, that is such a great distinction. And, you know, I often say that the Christian life is just a big giant game of follow the leader. And since a program can't be a leader, the people that run the program can be a leader, but then we're just teaching people how to run programs. Mm-hmm. So your answer to that question was?
Well, I'd already read a lot on discipleship. I've taught on discipleship. I've gone overseas and taught on discipleship. So I had a lot of background, you know, but I just dove into it again. And that's just the way I do things. So, okay, I buy a big stack of books, or now they aren't so much on the table, but on my Kindle.
Yeah, there you go. Now I heard, I want to back up for just a second, because you put together pretty comprehensive, I'm going to call it a chart for now. I know that's not what you call it, but, and for those that are listening to this podcast, it's actually available right on the website. So you can get this, but you just didn't like wake up one night and think, oh, I got to do something. I mean, you might've woke up and thought that, but then you spent a significant amount of time to tell our listeners about this time and effort that you spent.
Well, yeah, I probably read fully 15 to 20 books, and then I perused a number of others and some old books that I'd read in the past, you know, and I was just trying to ask myself, the big question was, okay, if we're going to give people something that's transferable, what does it look like? What's the content? What do you put in? What do you leave out? How do you put it down? I wanted it on. Now, we've got in front of us an 11 by 17. If it was 8.5 by 11, it'd be a little hard to read, because yeah. I wanted to get it on one page, but it's better if you blow it up. But get it on one. I mean, I want to be able to put in people's hands, here it is. We're starting a Sunday school class next Sunday. The title of the class is, You Can Do This. Mm.
So you introduced it to your church through...
Well, I preached for 8 weeks on discipleship and then ended with presenting this last fall, and now we're coming back to it in the summer.
Okay. So now let's... How about describe what it is? I called it a chart, and I know that that's not the right word. So
sure. Well, I'm calling it a spiritual formation scale, and it goes back to something I learned. This is goes back to the 70s. That tells you something.
Okay. We can probably trust it. Was it before or after Watergate? No, just kidding.
Was,
go ahead.
It was a little after, yeah. James Engle wrote this book, Contemporary Christian Communication, Its Theory and Practice, and the Engle scale became a thing. And people have copied and recopied this over the last 50 years. And it actually starts like at minus 10 is an absolute. Somebody who knows nothing about Christ or is entirely against following Christ. And then minus 7 is, well, they know who Christ is. Minus 4 is they're favorable toward him but haven't embraced him, you know, and so on. And 0 is a new convert. And then it goes plus 1 is, well, you understand the new nature. What just happened to you, you know? And plus 10, let's say, I don't remember his scale exactly, is a very mature believer who is growing in faith and maybe even leading now in the church or something like that. So that was his scale. And I've always liked that, and I've used it for evangelism for years, telling people, you got to meet people where they are. And if they're at minus 5 and you try to get them to pray a prayer to receive Jesus, well, it's almost disrespectful. You know, you really aren't meeting them where they're at. And you've got to bring people. If you bring somebody from minus 5 to minus 4, that's as successful evangelism as minus 1 to 0. So I've used it in that, you know, for years that way. Well, now I'm looking at the plus side in terms of discipleship. Yeah. And he has, let's say, 10. I don't remember if that's exactly the number. And I looked at Jim Putman and his material. He has basically 5 categories. And I thought, well, neither of those are detailed enough to help people go, okay, what's growth step 1? What's growth step 2? What's growth step 3? And so on. And I played around with it. I ended up with 20 steps as I put this spiritual formation scale together from, okay, you're a brand new convert, what's step 1? Understand what just happened to you, all the way down to, you know, step 20 is, I know what my life purpose is, I know what my calling is, my mission is, how God wants to glorify himself through me, and I'm after it, you know.
Yeah, I think it's wonderfully done. It's even color-coded, so I can tell which ones are the – I'm colorblind. So speak to us just a little bit on, you know, I know whenever you create something like this, there has to be, you know, either steps or it has to be linear in a way because otherwise you can't teach it and, right, and all that. But do you ever find that, you know, somebody might start out in 1 or 2 on your step 3s or, but it, talk to it, walk us through that just to help us understand.
Sure. Of course. You know, if you have the chart and it is color coded and the colors are basically different levels, and I basically followed Putman on that, but he has like infancy, then young adult. And I thought, well, let's say you come to Christ at 40. We don't want to call you an infant, you know?
Yeah.
So I just changed them to levels rather. But it's that idea, you know, you're an infant, then you're a teenager, then you're a young adult, then you're an adult. I mean, that's, and you understand why he did that. And so it follows that sort of format. So what are the first things you need to learn as a new Christian? And then things as you grow in your faith a little. And then by level 3, you're starting to make disciples. And then by level 4, you're maybe even asking yourself, would God have me to be a leader in the church, or what kind of ministry is he going to give to me to pursue to his glory, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. And I like also you have some instruction to follow, how to get from one place to the next, and even full of scriptures. Now I know the scriptures aren't exhaustive, but oh my goodness, how helpful is that?
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of different ways to use this. So let's say you are a Christian who has a coworker who you aren't even sure if they're a Christian or not, you know, but you think maybe they are, and they're willing to sit down and meet with you. you can take step one, which is understand the new nature. And in each category, I've given, the disciples' action step, and we want them to know what just happened to them, basically. And the disciples' action step, how you help them do that. And then there are two resource columns. One is, there are several books on understanding the new nature, like Elise Fitzpatrick's book is here, and you could just read that book together if you wanted to, meet in the coffee shop. Maybe that's how you approach them. Hey, I'm interested in reading this book. I mean, you don't even have to tell them about the whole, all that you're after, or, you know, you have a goal that maybe this would be a long-term relationship, but you don't start there because that's a little intimidating, you know. So you say, hey, would you be interested in reading this book with me? And I just had a guy after church 2 weeks ago do this with a coworker. He got to step four, and that's where the guy came to faith in Christ.
Isn't that something? Yeah. Wonderful.
He assumed he was a believer. The guy wasn't a believer. They got to step four, and the guy said, now I'm ready.
Yeah, if I could jump in with a question here. You talked about maybe it was a former senior pastor that had hired a discipleship pastor for you. So that brings a question to my mind is, when you envision this tool being utilized, who do you give this tool to use? You'd mentioned it sort of is available to anyone, but do you also pass this off specifically and charge your ministry leaders and say, please utilize this tool and utilize it in this way that we will manage as a church leadership?
Not exactly, no. We make it available to our folks, and we emphasize it every Sunday in the bulletin. There's a QR code, a constant reminder. So all they have to do well, boom, you scan it, and there it is, and you can find it anytime. Our people can anyway, it's available. We expect them to use it individually in relationship. Now, we're going to do some Sunday school classes next fall where there'll be tables set up, and you can, one table will be step five, one table will be step eight, and we'll be a little more intentional that way. But mostly, we just want people to take it and use it in their workplace, in their school, wherever they are, where they have relationships with other people, and take it and use it there.
Yeah, I like that. So you're not limiting this to any particular individual. I think that's great that you're trying to create that almost as a, this will be a culture of discipleship.
Absolute culture is a good word.
That you'll hope to see throughout every member of your congregation. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of what you're...
Absolutely.
Well, another thing that strikes me about what you've done here is, I think when Jesus was here on the planet, walking, talking to people and all that, I don't think it was as random as sometimes we read, the Gospels, there's some linear progression, of course, but it kind of skips around a little bit. He was very intentional. And I love the intentionality of your tool here. It's no matter where maybe you're at, or somebody that you know, if you can understand where they're at, there is some helpful hot tips or instruction even in this document. So, thank you for that. And can I confess one thing, and then maybe you can respond to that too, as putting this together. Of course, I've had this now for a couple months. I glanced through it when I first got it and really liked it. And then I've read it a couple of times, this makes sense. Even looked up some of the verses and everything. And you know what happened to me? It helped me immensely. Hmm. And I've been a Christian now 40 years. I'm doing my best to follow, but I'm probably like others that are listening to this, trip up along the way. And I found it just personally helpful. Have you found any of that, like in your church?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, people have looked at this and said, okay, where are my gaps? Oh, this one I've got down. But, I've never really looked at spiritual gifts and what are they and what is mine. And I'm going to work on that one because that's missing in my own progression here. Maybe I've covered 12 to 16 well, but eight, I jumped right over that one, spiritual disciplines, fasting. What do you, I don't know a thing about fasting. Maybe, there's a spiritual disciplines category there. So you can do it topically. So like one of the steps is to understand spiritual disciplines. What are they? How you do them? One is spiritual gifts, those kinds of things. And you can move topically down the list. But what I'm really excited about is the scripture category. Mm-hmm. So I've given a key scripture or scriptures for each of the steps. And if all you did was take this spiritual formation scale, take those scriptures and ask the 10 scripture questions that I provided of each text. So you meet somebody at the bakery. First week, you open up that first text. You ask these 10 questions of the text. You make some application. Come back the next week, do the next text. There are about 42, 43 scriptures here. In a year, that's a full-orbed discipleship. I mean, you have gone all the steps, and all you've done is open your Bible and ask these 10 questions each week.
But one of the nice things about this tool is that at every stage and for every scripture listed, these 10 questions will be a tool that they can use. They can build a skill in that tool.
Right. So I'm just helping them build the skill of asking the questions, and then they'll take that and apply it when they go through the scriptures with the people they take through this spiritual formation scale.
Well, I think you've created a not only a comprehensive but very simple tool, but super. It's almost like that old analogy of an onion, you know, the little peels of an onion or something. And so you can go as deep probably as somebody would want to, because I don't know how many books you reference on here.
A lot.
But I think it's more than 15.
Oh, yeah.
there's a smattering of books. Some of them I've read, some I haven't. Some you'll have read, some you haven't. So you'll be able to just even maybe relook at a book in your library and go, oh, I remember that or whatever. So you put together this guide as well. Will you tell us about the guide real quick?
Yeah, it's just a little introduction to how I got here, why now in my life, and, you know, waking up to the reality that we were making disciples, but not making disciples who make disciples, and how that light bulb came on. And I talk a little about the scale, you know, of the growth scale, and then how this spiritual formation scale helps you help people grow and move down through the growth scale. And then the questions are there. Actually, there's a 10-question guide, and then we also have a 7-question and a 6-question. Just in case people, you know, the 10 is a little... Actually, the 10 is a little... it goes a little more in depth. And as soon as people look at the word genre, you know...
Okay. Now we're in trouble.
But I think that's important to ask. But if you want a simpler list of questions, we have that too. So you can start with the 6 or 7 questions, and or you can use all 10, which I certainly recommend. But
okay, well we're gonna post the 10
right, with
this, and then if somebody wanted to get either more input or information, they can just contact you here at the church.
Absolutely,
is that right?
Anytime. You have any questions about this or comments, or I mean, this is sort of a working document, of course. So you have ideas, suggestions, or you're free to take this. It's not like this is copyrighted and don't touch, and, you know, like the, you know, every time you listen to an online podcast, you know, don't record, re-record, or reprogram. Do whatever you want with this thing.
This is an open-handed document.
Absolutely.
For you.
However it serves you, use it. That's fine on me. If you want me to, email you the original, so you could, you say, hey, I want to tweak it this way and that, and you're going to take it and do something else with it. God bless you. I'll send you the Excel spreadsheet, and you can change it however you want.
So you talked about your upcoming course, which is called You Can Do This, right? Again, to invite everyone to jump into that. How exactly are you kind of teaching your people through this during that course?
What I'm going to do is teach them how to use this 10-question worksheet. And we won't cover nearly all of the scriptures, of course, maybe a handful over the course of the next 9 weeks. But I want them to feel comfortable with this worksheet. Why these 10 questions? How do you use these 10 questions? Why is the genre question important? What is a genre? Why do we ask that question? You know, what difference does it make? And I assume some of the listeners understand that you don't process narrative text the same way as a Pauline epistle or the Psalms. There are different ways to approach different texts and draw applications from them. And that's an important question to ask. What kind of literature are we dealing with here? As an example of one question, and I want to help them understand why that question is important and how to answer it week to week.
What would you say is the best way for, let's say a pastor sees this tool, they want to use this, they want to take the scale and try to implement that. How would they get started implementing this? What do you recommend to them?
Well, what I did was I preached an 8-week series on discipleship. I'll be happy to pass that along too. If somebody wants to email me and say, hey, can you send me your sermons? just for your own reference, at least the texts, and you get some ideas if you want to introduce it that way. That worked well here, where I took over 2 months to introduce it before I ever put this in their hands. So the pump was well primed when they got this thing.
That is 40 years of experience talking right there. Don't miss that. Prime the pump before you try to get the water out of it. Beautiful. Well, that's what the Cultivation Co-op is all about, guys and gals. And that is that none of us can do this on our own. We can't live the life for the calling that Jesus has on our life. We can't do that by ourselves. We can't reach the people in our community by ourselves. And certainly there's people that know things like Tim here and put together things in such a way. This, I wish I would have known this, had this when I was like 25 or 30 starting in ministry. It will give you a huge, huge upper hand in your ministry on making disciples that make disciples, because it's not programmatic, it's relational. So good job. Thank you so much, Tim, for sharing it so openly with us. And any last thought or maybe even a question for those that are listening that you might have?
Well, just to say that there are really two parts to discipleship, and we've talked all about one side, which is the more formal side, and the spiritual formation scale is that. But of course, there's the relational side. Jesus was with his disciples, you know, and full orb discipleship is going to be you having folks in your home and over for meals and go to ball games and live life together, as well as do this more formal process together. And if you don't do both of those things, you said something about relationship, and that's what made me think of it. It is. Discipleship is
relationship. It's going to fall apart. Yeah, sure.
So you've got to put those two things together.
I'm so glad you said that, because sometimes we think of just skill development. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that we know is true is we have to have the mindset and the heart set, as well as the skill set, for whatever endeavor we're involved in. And certainly is true in discipleship.
Yeah, one thing, I really loved how you talked about the two halves. And I think in your introduction, you had described them as modeling and instructing. And modeling really having that relational element to it. Right. And that's informal. Mm-hmm. You can't tell people how to share their lives together, because their lives are unique to them.
Right.
But then I do love how you're providing this tool on the instruction side.
Man, again, Tim, thank you so much for this tool. And those of you that are out there, take a look at it. Give Tim a note about how you can utilize it. And thank you so much for being part of the Cultivation Co-op.
Hopefully you were able to envision how this tool or a similar comprehensive discipleship process could be utilized in your ministry context to promote personal discipleship. Make the most of this resource by spending time reviewing the 5 stages of discipleship tool and discuss with your ministry leaders what you can do next to develop discipleship in your church.